Political Pulse is made possible by listeners and by Lee Auto Malls, offering new and used vehicles to help Mainers explore the beauty of their home state. Learn more at leeauto.com.
Welcome to Maine's Political Pulse. I'm Erwin Gratz, joined by Maine Public's Chief Political Correspondent Steve Missler and Senior Political Correspondent Mal Leary. Nationally, the 2020 campaign has been scrambled by the revelation President Trump has tested positive for coronavirus. Steve, Mal, we had been expecting the Trump campaign to work hard on trying to repeat the electoral vote win Trump had in Maine in 2016. Do we have any idea what this might mean for presidential campaigning here?
Erwin, the obvious answer is that the president won't be making any trips here to the 2nd Congressional District for at least the next 2 weeks. And of course, as we've discussed on this segment before, 2nd Congressional District is something that he is eyeing, you know, potentially needing it if there's a close vote in the Electoral College. I mean, he obviously won there by 10 points in 2016, didn't need it then because he had won the Electoral College decisively enough not to need that one electoral vote up there. But, you know, he might need it this time. And so what that means, I think, is that he's obviously not going to be able to do that for 2 weeks. And depending on his health, he may not be able to do it at all. I mean, we just don't know at this point. That could have a lot of implications for down ballot contests. The thing that's amazing about this is that, you know, the president and some of his inner circle have been so cavalier about masks and distancing and that sort of thing that we really don't know how bad this could be, you know, in terms of people who are also infected, because the president, while he's had some outdoor rallies, those rallies have been attended by people who are not masked, not distanced. And he's also had indoor rallies where neither of those things are occurring either. And so we just don't know how widespread this could be as a result of this. Republican National Committee woman Rona McDaniel has also tested positive. So this thing could ripple pretty quickly. And as we record this, you know, it is a developing story. There's a lot we don't know. But in terms of how he campaigns here, I think that's on hold in the short term. And potentially, he may not show up here at all, depending on how, you know, on his recovery.
This is going to have so many impacts in so many states. Trying to figure this out now is almost impossible to do. But I think we can say that in Maine, we've got some candidates like Dale Crafts in the 2nd Congressional District that really were hoping for a Trump visit in these last few weeks to help bolster his chances of beating incumbent Jared Golden. He needs that Trump base. He has wrapped himself around Trump and Trump policies, and he really needed or needs that sort of personal campaigning here by the president. As Steve's pointing out, we don't know whether that's going to happen now. My guess, and it's purely a guess, is as we get closer to the election, the focus by the Trump team is going to be on the bigger states where, you know, places like Arizona and Texas and Florida, where they're in play and a lot of electoral votes are at stake, they may well prove to be far more important than the single electoral district that we could give them up in the 2nd district. This is going to be, I think, an incredible change, and we can't begin to guess what all the changes will be to campaigns down the ballot, as well as the presidency campaign itself.
The president was scheduled to do a rally in Florida, which he desperately needs to win. He needs that state to win the Electoral College. And so, you know, when he gets through this, if he's able to get through it in full health and recover, you have to imagine that, you know, he's going to restart his campaign in places like that, as Mal pointed out, places with far more electoral votes than the one that we have up in that 2nd district. And he needs those states, and those states are competitive right now. You know, I don't know. I mean, in Mal's point about Dale Crafts is a good one. I mean, Dale Crafts is, I think, hoping to draft off the president a little bit with appearances here, and he may not have that opportunity. You know, maybe there'll be some surrogates that could come and try to replace that, but that's not the same thing as President Trump coming here.
I wonder if in the age of Zoom, if you will, if they might not try for some video appearances, assuming the president remains reasonably well, he could do those from the White House.
But again, is that a substitute for the energy that he gets from one of these rallies? Now, even if it's only a few hundred people, it ripples out through the political community. And what I had heard was in the works in Maine was a quick visit into Bangor at the National Guard hangar up there, which we've seen other candidates for president in the past, as well as Trump himself, use his location. And it had tremendous ripple effects. We just saw it, what, time runs together here, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, when he visited Bangor and Guilford.
Well, before the coronavirus news, this week's big story has surrounded the first presidential debate and Mr. Trump's refusal again to denounce white nationalist groups preferring to talk about threats from the left. Steve, this again puts Republican Senator Susan Collins in a tough spot, does it not?
The fact that Republicans have to issue statements at all criticizing white nationalists or denouncing them because the president won't is never a good place to be, especially if you're Senator Collins and, you know, and in a very tight race that could very well hinge on whether the Republican base will vote for her. You know, I mean, I think that she really needs those folks to turn out. And, you know, this balancing act that she's been doing is really just trying to keep Trump at arm's length without alienating his supporters so much so that, you know, that they won't vote for her or they'll vote for somebody else. And she, you know, she's not alone. I mean, you know, the president's refusal to condemn white supremacists was just part of the problem here. I mean, he also talked about, told the Proud Boys, which is this extremist group with links to white supremacists, to quote, stand down and stand by, which sounded really ominous for anybody who knows about the Proud Boys. Don't be mistaken by the name. I mean, these guys are, you know, pretty rowdy people, and they do get into violent tangles with other protesters from the left. I mean, I don't know. The president would later say that he doesn't know who the Proud Boys are, but the fact is his, you know, longtime political advisor, Roger Stone, was one of their biggest supporters. Stone even enlisted the Proud Boys for personal protection at one point. So Collins obviously denounced white supremacy, which, you know, seems like a pro forma thing to do, or you shouldn't even have to do it at all. But here we are. She did that. And she also criticized the president for not doing so either. But right now, as we sit here and record this, he hasn't done that. You know, he's basically said he doesn't know who the Proud Boys are. And he has not said anything about white supremacists. You know, the problem is that for Collins is that it just reanimates this criticism of her that she's not saying if she'll vote for Trump or not. And so it just keeps things top of mind for voters and for the left. Not a good position to be for her, you know, when she's trying to pull off this sort of tightrope act that she's doing.
And it's not just that issue that I think is resonating with voters. It's what, you know, some people have called, you know, the greatest kindergarten food fight in the history of American politics. I mean, that debate was an absolute disaster. I think it hurt Biden as much as Trump in some ways, because there were a few times there when he lost his temper because he got baited by Trump, who kept interrupting him constantly and often making comments that made no sense or absolutely not true. 65 million is the number I have read, watched that debate. And I think you got an awful lot of Americans who are going, good Lord, what do I do in this race? You know, where is the adult here? Where are the adults that are going to lead this country? It was just absolutely beyond the pale.
What we saw in some of the focus group settings is that with undecided voters, they do exist, which is hard to imagine, but they do exist. And they could very well, you know, tip the election one way or the other, depending on where they are, if they're in a swing state. People had some pretty strong reactions to the president and his conduct in that, you know, the interrupting and the insults that he was throwing at Biden. And Biden certainly, you know, threw a couple of his own too. There were some people who voiced this on NPR when they played some voters who also watched it. Some of those people said they were just completely turned off by the election at all, that they didn't want to vote for either one. And I think that's a bad position, I think, for Biden, because you want as many people to turn out and hopefully he can convince them to vote for him. But, you know, the other issue too, is that when things get really, really nasty and ugly, it's not great for people turning out to vote.
Well, let's go back to the Senate race. Republican Susan Collins did get some support this week from a very traditional Republican constituency, business.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which has been supporting Collins throughout this campaign, and it's also linked to this super PAC, the 1820 PAC, which has spent some $7 million boosting Collins through ads and attacks on Democratic challenger Sarah Gideon. But the U.S. chamber as an entity basically announced that it was going to be investing more in quote unquote issue ads that would essentially be helping Senator Collins in a reelection effort. What's interesting about this is that that announcement came on the heels of a report in the Washington Post that talked about how the chamber had just fired its longtime political advisor, Scott Reed. And Reed gave this very cryptic quote to the Post where he said that, well, I was going to leave anyway because, you know, they didn't want me to invest any more money in Maine and North Carolina. And so the chamber came out a couple of days later and, you know, we don't know why they released that statement, whether it was related to Reed's comment to the Post, you know, that seemed to suggest that the chamber was not going to be helping Collins anymore, or if they were really just had this in a queue and were they had planned to continue to invest in the race all along.
Well, there's at least one businessman who's causing Collins a problem. So let's talk about that Hawaiian defense contractor, Martin Kao.
Kao is a Hawaiian defense contractor who was arrested this week over allegations that he attempted to defraud the coronavirus relief program championed by Senator Collins. That would be the Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP, as it's come to be known. And of course, Collins has been touting that program throughout the campaign. And it also just so happens that Kao and his wife maxed out as donors to Collins's reelection campaign. An organization that his wife is the registered agent to is one of the biggest donors to the 1820 PAC, which, as I just mentioned, has spent almost $7 million boosting Collins through ads and attacks on Gideon. And to add a little bit more to this, Kao and Collins appeared together in Maine last year to celebrate an $8 million defense contract that was awarded to Kao's former company, Navitech LLC. The charges against Kao is that he's basically trying to defraud the PPP program by trying to convince banks to give him loans. And he was name dropping, according to the Department of Justice affidavit, he was name dropping certain senators, saying, you know, he knew these people as a way of trying to persuade banks to give him these loans. We don't know who he mentioned, but of course, everybody was thinking of Collins because the two appeared together a year ago. Now, Collins' spokeswoman, Annie Clark, released a statement yesterday saying that neither Collins nor her office have had any contact with Mr. Kao or anyone else at Navitech regarding the PPP program. And she said that Collins hasn't spoken with Kao since last year when he visited Maine. So there's, you know, they're saying that there's been no contact between the two. But look, you know, the way this campaign has gone, I mean, Kao's arrest seems destined to end up in some kind of an attack ad. I mean, I don't think Gideon will bring it up in a debate because so much is not known about his arrest and what might happen. But as we've seen with a lot of these outside groups, they'll talk about just about anything that appears fishy and blow it up into a full-blown scandal, whether there is one or not.
And lastly, modern technology continues to be integrated into elections. Mal, there were two developments along that line this week.
Well, what we're seeing is that the Secretary of State has set up a method so you can track your absentee ballot and be sure that it has been received by the clerk and will be counted. It's entirely online. It goes through the whole process when you've applied for an absentee ballot. It's been sent to you. You have to fill it out and send it back. And then what's important here is the clerk has to examine it and make sure that it facially meets the requirements of the law. That is, the signatures appear to match, for example, is one of the big issues that has occurred with absentee ballots. And if it doesn't, you can check on that website and find out that, no, your clerk has rejected it. So you have an opportunity to then go to the clerk and say, wait a minute, what's wrong here? And possibly, for example, show a signature on your license or something that more matches what's on record with the Registrar of Voters. It's a system that hopefully adds a little bit more security to folks as they're using the absentee ballot process. Now, the reality is here in Maine, if you believe what we saw in the Colby poll, you know, more than 80% of the people think our system's just fine. It's secure. Absentee ballots are secure. But they're more worried about what's going on in other states where that confidence goes from over 80 to 40. Mm-hmm. And I think what you have there is we're doing it all right, folks, and we're fine. But boy, am I worried about what's going on in Texas.
And the other thing, too, apparently is settlement of a suit by the Disability Rights Maine. We're also going to have a new way for people who have trouble seeing a ballot to actually participate from home.
Exactly. And that's an electronic system. It's not that dissimilar to what is used now in the military, where you basically have the vote being transmitted electronically through an officer at a particular base that is designated to be the political officer to handle the balloting of the soldiers or sailors or Marines at that particular base. So it's modeled on that. It appears to be a system that has been vetted well over the years with the military and should provide that level of privacy and at the same time security in the casting of ballot by someone with a serious disability such as blindness.
All right, as we continue to march into the new way of electing political leaders. Mal Leary and Steve Missler, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
And that's Maine's Political Pulse for this week. If you are hearing the podcast, we do update it usually on Friday afternoons. You can download the Pulse from mainepublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Most of it airs on Maine Public Radio's Weekend Edition Sunday program, and excerpts also air on Monday's Morning Edition program. We also now have Steve Missler's Maine Political Pulse newsletter. You can read it online at mainepublic.org and have it sent directly to your email inbox on Fridays. Willis Ryder Arnold is the producer of The Pulse. Music is by Rob Holt. I'm Erwin Gratz. Join us again next week.